You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue. It is Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. And I am really excited to talk about this next topic because this is catching me by storm watching this Oklahoma softball team. 57-3, they're the defending national champions, and they are going up against Texas in a best 2 out of 3 at the championship in Oklahoma City at the Women's College World Series. Jenna Becerra joins us, Pac-12 Network, also host of Believe in Softball, the Believe Podcast Network. She also played for Stanford. How are you, Jenna? Thanks for joining us.
I'm great, of course. I mean, any chance to talk softball, and I'm in. So
I'm right out of the gate. This is... I love this because I usually talk to people on sports I'm a little bit more familiar with, and I love learning, and I've been captivated by this Oklahoma team. As far as being not just a softball team, as a, just a sports team, how good is this Sooners organization?
I mean, they are truly a generational team. They might be the best college softball team in history, and that is saying a lot because this is also an Oklahoma program that has 5 national championships already. And then the other 2 that just happen to have a little bit more than them is there's UCLA with 12 and Arizona with 8. And they were dominant in like the 80s for UCLA, the 90s for Arizona. And really the last 10 years, there's been a dominance by Oklahoma, but this is the best version of Oklahoma that we have seen. I'm not saying that lightly. It is not, they're built different. It's not normal.
When you see this team, and again, 3 losses, but one of them does come against Texas, how much weight, how much currency is that for the Longhorns going into this series?
I think it is in terms of confidence for Texas. If you're Oklahoma, you're not letting that faze you, because the thing that Oklahoma's been able to do is, yes, they have only 3 losses on the year. They lost to UCLA. They turned around and run-ruled them in the same day at the World Series. They lost to Texas earlier in the year, but they've actually already beaten Texas earlier in the Women's College World Series. So for Oklahoma, they never get beat twice by the same team so far. But if you're Texas, they're an unseeded team. This is the first time that they've gotten to the championship series in program history, and they did it as an unseeded team. That's wild. So I think for them, they talk about how they're the most dangerous team in the country right now, and they talk about why not us, right? So I think the fact that they've done it before, they did it on the legend Cat Osterman's birthday at the time too. Everything was very poetic. Why not? You know, why not them? So anything can happen. That is what postseason has showed us this year.
Jenna, tell me about Jocelyn Alou, because she's now not only just a star in softball, she's now a mega star around the country.
She is incredible. Like, she's back-to-back player of the year, right? Which has happened before, but typically it's a pitcher on the national stage like that to get that kind of award. Not her, right? She's a hitter. She is a hitter. And it was one of those things where earlier this season, people weren't pitching to her because they didn't want to be that person where she breaks the record, where she becomes the all-time home run leader. And finally, she did it, and she did it in Hawaii, which is her home state. And it was sort of that full circle moment for her. And then ever since, she just kept going. I mean, she's 25 home runs past the next person on that list, 120 on the year. It's a collection that her parents have at this point in terms of all the home run balls. And I think what we see from her too is this level of confidence. She's not cocky though. She still puts team first, but she has this like level of confidence that you should aspire to. So she's just absolutely incredible.
We see Oklahoma put up the kind of numbers offensively, but a lot of the year, they have shut out their opponent. Is their pitching exponentially better than everybody in the country? How is their pitching?
Their pitching is good. Their ace, who would be actually the national freshman of the year, Jordy Ball, had not pitched from May 6th until the World Series. So she had been hurt. They still went, you know, undefeated up until the Women's College World Series in the NCAA tournament. But it's the fact that they have depth there. They have Hope Troutwine, who's been throwing a ton of innings. They have some options in the circle that are good. But I don't know if they're exponentially better than everyone else. Jordy Ball is definitely on her own sort of level. But they can just out-hit everybody, too. So, you know, if you have a lead on them, it doesn't necessarily mean much. And it doesn't happen very often. That's how good their offense is. They have 4 first-team All-Americans in the first four slots in their lineup. So any pitcher is going to feel confident when you have that kind of backup.
Jenna Becerra joins us, Pac-12 Network, also host of Believe in Softball and the Believe Podcast Network. I'm going to ask a question here about the game, in the modern game today, in the collegiate game. Just as a setup, I'm an older guy. I went to high school in the 80s, and I went to a high school in the middle of nowhere, New Hampshire, that had one of the dominating softball programs, not only in the state, but got a lot of national attention. They won 15 seasons under Dick Blood, who was later the head coach at Colgate. They won like eight championships in the state. But one thing I noticed as a student was in the middle of the winter, when we had 10 feet of snow outside, he had the girls in the gym pitching, and that was one of the main reasons they were able to win. On the collegiate level, when you're talking about better players, how important is pitching? Is it still there, or is this mostly an offensive sport?
I think that pitching matters in terms of winning championships. Offensively, that part of the game has definitely exploded, especially in the last 10 years. It's due to the technology getting better, the spread of information and accurate information, right? And the fact that they can actually take a look at more data and pitching in terms of looking at, hey, what does this pitcher throw? What are her patterns? They have that film. So I think that has gotten better. But when it comes down to the Women's College World Series and being able to actually win a national championship, you have to have pitching in place. And you have to have defense. And that is actually the other thing that Oklahoma does have, is solid defense. Grace Lyons is one of the best shortstops in the country. And that's also a way to back up your pitcher, right? And to bring that sort of confidence to the team. And people don't talk about that a lot because the offense is so incredible when you're averaging 10 runs a game. But you have to have those things, because sometimes it's not just who gets the big hit or who makes the big play. It's who makes a mistake and the other team gets to capitalize. So it's still incredibly important to have that aspect of the game.
I learned never to say never in sports, but if you're Texas, tonight's game has got to be critically important. It doesn't seem like Oklahoma loses twice in back-to-back games.
Right. Right. And they sent a huge message recently. When that happened with UCLA on Monday in the semifinals, they lost, and then they came back and scored 15 runs in five innings.
Yeah.
So they get angry. If they get punched, they punch back harder.
How have you seen this grow? This is now on major television. I love the crowds. It's not just, you know, fans and friends and family. These are legitimate fans making trips. And these are not just fans. Locals are coming in to see it. People just in general seeing it. Sold out crowds. Overall, how is this event in Oklahoma City, when it used to be in Omaha years ago, now it's in Oklahoma City, finding its own home? How have you seen this sport grow in terms of popularity?
It's been unbelievable. I mean, even since just the time that I played, which was 10 years ago, which is aging myself, but that's okay.
That's all right.
You know, we went from... Okay, it happens, right? But right. We went from, you know, my parents and family, let's say, trying to keep track of my games. They went from seeing, I think it was called Game Tracker or something like that, where it's just little stick figures moving from one base to the other, and you're kind of having to guess, okay, did they get a hit? How did they get on base? They're just online trying to watch it, to now they've had two games on ABC so far in the Women's College World Series. That was the first time ever for this World Series specifically. And, you know, it's 1.25 million viewers and 1.3 million viewers for the Texas-Oklahoma State semifinal games, right? And then there's, like you said, record-breaking crowds, you know, over 12,500 people that are there physically as well. It is just unreal, just the evolution of the facilities themselves in Oklahoma City. I got to play there in travel ball. That's where nationals were held, too. And just what they've done in terms of expanding the seating and all that kind of stuff, that's one of the first things that a lot of these coaches at the World Series who actually played back in the day there have mentioned. It has exploded. And I think it's only going to continue to. And it's really exciting to see, because if you talk to anyone connected to the game in any way, their goal is always to grow the game.
Yeah, that's in my next question. And as you talk about its growth, how is the pipeline? How is it on the high school level, the travel ball level? How is it on the place where girls are getting noticed and recruiting is really heated up? How is that state right now for softball?
It's as good as it's been, honestly. Like, back before, when this was really a Pac-12-dominated sport in terms of championships, I mentioned it, UCLA has 12 championships, Arizona has 8. Only one of them is in the last 10 years. So it was very West Coast-dominant, and that was largely due to Southern California being this hotbed of talent. And then even when the SEC and some of these other conferences got a lot better and started being more and more competitive, it was a lot of the reason was because these SoCal kids were going across the country to go to those schools. However, now, because some of these schools have gotten better, and the SEC, the ACC, the Big 12, then when you're those programs and institutions, you're holding clinics for local girls to come and watch and learn, and that's that spread of information as well that we were talking about, then all of a sudden there's these pockets of talent all throughout the country. And now you can recruit from coast to coast and get really, really solid talent. And I think it all goes back to, like, if you can see it, you can be it. And because these young girls from all across the country are able to see it right in their backyard, we're seeing just more and more talent as we go.
Jenna, great stuff. I really appreciate your time this morning. Thank you. We've been saying all week that I think when the 2022 season is over and you look at all the teams, if Oklahoma were to win this, you can make the case that they are team of the year in all sports. I mean, they have dominated. They have done what they have done, what they do. I think they'll do that better than anybody that does what they do. It's been remarkable.
Oh, 100%. I mean, they're calling the lineup Murderer's Row, and I think it's right.
Jenna, great stuff. Really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for coming on this morning.
Awesome. Yes. Thank you for having me.
You got it. Jenna Bursera, again, Pac-12 Network, host of Believe in Softball podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. She also played at Stanford and was also at All-American. So good insight into tonight. And again, if you're looking around, I know we got game 3 of the NBA finals tonight, but if you're looking for something else, catch this Oklahoma team and watch Texas too. Watch to see if Texas can pull this out. Like I told her, I just don't think this Oklahoma team loses in back-to-back games. You sneak up and get them in game 1, and then you kind of put them on their heels a little bit in game 2, and then put them on their heels maybe a touch more in a game 3. But if they win game 1, you're not beating them twice. You just I again, I've learned never say never, but you aren't beating them twice.
I'm going to go out and say this. If you beat them in game 1, you're
probably not beating them in game 2.
You're probably not scoring a run in game
right.
2.
In game 2, you might then get them in game 3 in the deciding game. Maybe, but yeah, there is absolutely no momentum against this Oklahoma team. They are she's 100% right. They are magnificent at what they do. All right, we'll come back, wrap up the hour as we get ready for hour 4 on Wake Up Call.